Hello, and welcome back to the Sheila's Fearless Podcast. This is Holly Newton, and I'm here with my co-host, Dina DeLisa Gonser, and we are talking all things March. March is a big month this year. It's Easter. A lot of people celebrate Lent. It's Good Friday. A lot of parts of the country are even having spring break. So, I mean, March sounds like December or May to me. I don't know about you, Dina.
Yes, I mean, it is March Madness for sure. As yes. They say, I mean, sprinkle in your Read Across America. If you've got little kitties, they're doing the whole Dr. Seuss thing with all the spirit days. And then you want to sprinkle in that leprechaun. Not really biblical, but nevertheless, someone expects me to set a leprechaun trap now. So.
Spirit day, you're making cupcakes out of your child's hair.
Yes, that's what I did. I did cupcake hair, and I am not crafty at all. So, you know, I'm on Pinterest searching. Sienna's just she's so into it. Like, she's not one of those kids that's kind of like, whatever, bye. No, she plans for it. She waits for it all year. She loves it. So I've really got to deliver. It's a lot of pressure, especially when you're not crafty. Sure.
And then it can be.
Hop into town. I don't know.
Yeah. All the buffets and the cooking that's happening. I know in your world and finishing up cookbook on that last leg. I mean, it is a busy season.
It is. But it's good. Good things, right? Like new things. I'm really excited for spring. Really excited. Not even just for the weather, but just for what it means. Like it's time for something new, right?
I agree. Fall used to be my favorite, but now that I live in never-ending summer, I think spring is, because it's that season where, you know, the transition, it's like the palm trees are brighter green. The little bit of dingy that we get for winter starts to go. And spring has just always reminded me of new life. Like, seriously, I feel like I jump on to the trains that I may have parked when I get fresh ideas. You know how I'm a visionary. But I feel like sometimes I'll find one and pick one to run with that maybe I just let go dormant for some reason. I don't know. But it's exciting.
It is.
Well, this month at She Lives Fearless, we are talking about the 7 I Am sayings of Jesus. And we thought we would do this because it is such a busy time. I mean, honestly, it feels like the Christmas season all over again with everything that's going on. And we know that we have to take intentional time to really focus, you know, on our faith journey. And what we've done is we've created it's just a 7-day reading. Like, you could literally pick any week this month or any 7 days and just focus on one of the I Am statements of Jesus. And we're doing this because we know that when we discover more about who Jesus is, that we discover more about who we are. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited about these episodes, Dina. We're going to be talking to Tasha Calvert and Aaron Warren this month, two of our favorite Bible teachers who joined us for conferences. And I thought today we would just dig in with you and I sharing maybe the one of the I Am statements that are, you know, meaningful to us. Honestly, this is not something I've focused a lot on as a believer until maybe a couple of years ago. Then I thought, you know, this is a really cool thing, because in the book of John is where he writes the 7 I Am statements. All 7 statements are in the book of John, and it's a really good book to read this month if you're looking for something to deepen your faith in the Easter season. So I'll just list the 7. We're not going to talk about all 7 today, but the 7 that we'll be talking about this month are: I am the bread of life. Mm-hmm. I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the resurrection and a life. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and I am the true vine. So I think this will be a really good conversation. The PDF also has reflection questions to personalize it, because I think sometimes, too, we can go past all of these scripture readings and feel like, oh, it was for the Bible times, or it was for them to know then. But really, it's for us to know now as Christians and believers.
I think they're so helpful, those prompts. I really appreciate how those are usually written into our devotional guides that we put out. They just kind of help direct your thinking and your prayer. And like you said, help you not just skim past the verses, but really think like, what does God have to say to me right here and right now? And especially with this being Easter, you know, we get caught up in, you know, all, just like Christmas, you know, the Easter bunny, the Easter baskets, and oh, I can't eat fish or not fish. I can't eat meat on Friday for some people, all of that stuff. And then, I mean, even with my daughter, sometimes I'm like, wow, let's stop talking about the Easter bunny so much and let's start talking about what God has done for us this season. So it's a hard line to walk. So having a resource like this at our fingertips is huge. So I'm hopeful that everybody will download that. And Holly, what is your favorite I Am statement? Can you pick just one?
Can I pick just one? No, I can't actually, but I'll share one that is particularly important to me and meaningful is I'm the Good Shepherd. In John 10, 11, and 14, let me turn to that really quick. I have my Bible. You can't see it. John 10, 11, and 14 says, I'm the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, since he is not the shepherd and doesn't own the sheep, leaves them and runs away when he sees a wolf coming. The wolf then snatches and scatters them. This happens because he's a hired hand and doesn't care about the sheep. And what I love about this, well, number one, if you've been around a while, you know I love the shepherds in the Christmas story because they were unlikely and they were just out doing their humble, humble job and they were so chosen. And I love that Jesus compares himself and says he is the Good Shepherd. He is not a hired hand. He is not someone that was sent like as a substitute. He was actually the Messiah and he was God. He's part of the Trinity. And so the shepherd goes after the one. And the sheep, the true sheep of the shepherd know his voice and they follow. And for me, I always want to deepen my ability to hear God's voice more clearly because I think for a larger part of my life, I mark about a decade ago when my journey with God really shifted into something deeper than it ever had been. And I've been a Christian since I was 8 years old, but I don't think I really realize how much we can hear God's voice as a believer until about a decade ago when my mentor really helped me to start leaning into hearing the voice of God for myself. And I think as Christians, it's easy to let the church tell us what God is saying, or maybe a well-trusted friend who you feel may hear God's voice better than you tell you what he's saying, but really he's personal and he has something to say to us. And he wants us to hear his voice. So I think the Good Shepherd for me is probably the one that stands out that I really like to cling to most. And the reflection question on that day is, what can you do to deepen your ability to hear God's voice more clearly? And I really found, you know, that there's like, we want substitutes or maybe want the lazy way out sometimes. I know sometimes I do, but there's not a substitute because the way we do that is through prayer and scripture. And, you know, I have found that the more I hear God's voice, the more I fall in love with wanting to dig into a scripture because it's like I'm finding something new all the time.
For sure. I find that, you know, you read your Bible in a year kind of thing. And it's funny if you see your markings, you know, you read your Bible in a year or whatever time frame and you get to that end point and you're like, all right, I did it. So where do I go from here? And you go back to starting it over again. And I'm finding as I read through a second time, because yes, I'm guilty of never reading cover to cover until recently. I hadn't done it. And as I go through a second time, I notice that I see all the markings I made the first time around, but now I'm making even more the second time around on different verses and different things. Cause it really depends upon where you are in your life. And so the Bible never gets stale. It never gets old. There's always, it's a living, breathing document, which is so cool. And you understand that as you read it. But if you're not in the Word reading it, well, then you're really missing out. For sure.
It's true. I have copies of my Bible from different stages of life, and I'll go back and see what I've written in the margins, and it changed and it morphed over time because I'm growing deeper or under different circumstances, and it applies same principle, but in a different way.
Yeah. So, you know, it's never outdated for sure. I know I've gotten that question before. Well, it doesn't really apply to today. I'm like, actually, it's exactly what we need today for sure. And I guess that brings me to I am the vine. I think that, I mean, it's hard to pick, like you said, it's hard to pick one because, you know, we could go through all of them and explain why they have significance in our life. But I am the vine and the branches, you know, apart from me, you can do nothing. That's what it says in that whole verse. It's like John 15, 1-8, I believe. And it talks about how if you remain in him, if you remain connected to him, you're going to bear fruit. But if you decide to walk away from that, like you're running the risk of becoming a branch that could just kind of be tossed out to the side, thrown into the fire. I mean, that's all these metaphors, but I see that in the recent years in my life, like I've turned and I've asked myself, if I feel like I'm striving in my own will, or if things around me aren't consistently working out, or if I, you know, I've struggled in relationships, whether it's been my marriage or with family members, if everything feels like a struggle, I have to check back with myself. You know, sometimes we focus on what everyone else is doing to us or what the world is doing to us. And sometimes I have to take a good, hard look at myself and be like, have I detached from the divine? And I'm trying to do it on my own strength. I'm trying to figure out the problems. I'm trying to solve the issues in my relationships, all on my own volition. And so when I start feeling that frustration well up again, I have to go back to, am I attached to the vine? And what a nice thing to know that we don't have to do things on our own strength. I mean, it really is a hard surrender. I would say with my mouth all the time, like, oh yeah, like I go to him and I pray to him for everything. But it's like, I didn't even know what that meant because I was praying for everything. And I did in my heart want his will for whatever it was in my life. And, you know, I wanted him to be a part of it, but I was still trying to control it all in my own strength instead of submitting to the fact that, yes, he is the vine and he is where all of my strength comes from. And it's kind of like with Moses, he was scared of when God first told him what to do back in Exodus. And there's this passage that I really held on to where God does say to Moses, and I'm paraphrasing this a little bit. And he said to Moses, I am who I am. I am what I am. I am who I will be. And that is what you tell those Israelites. Like, you do not be afraid. You do not have to be a good speaker, Moses. You do not have to, you do not have to be the smartest one in the room. You know, Moses was like, let Joshua do it. Let someone else do it. Right. Like, you suck it up, Moses. And through me, you go tell them that I am who I say I am. Now let's get it. You know, trying to do it on your own. I didn't ask you to do it, you know, do it on your own. I told you to do it because I told you to be obedient. So that's definitely been, that's been a big one in my life the past couple of years, is to keep going back to the vine for sure.
Yeah. Oh, I love that, Dina. And you know, what you're saying is true. I mean, sometimes we can pray and do the, you know, ask God for what our prayer requests are, but yet still work in our own strength. And that's really not how he meant for us, you know, to do and be.
Pressure off. It does. It's taken a lot of pressure off me in recent years to be like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
This doesn't have to be me, and I can pump the brakes on this and let him truly take care of it and try to overcome my will to overcompensate or to control everything.
Yes, for sure. It's like we're not working for him, we're letting him work through us. And, you know, I think your life is a great testimony of letting him work through you in this past year as you've journeyed through your cancer battle and yet launching a book, writing a book, doing things that intersected that you never thought that they would intersect in this timing. And truly we've seen you work in the strength of God, not trying to do it opposite, because I think you would probably say that's the only way you've made it through.
That was the only way. And I think that's exciting too, when you realize that you've grown. You know, when I went through the postpartum issues that I went through with Sienna years ago, that's different than the trial I faced going through cancer. But going through that tough valley and now facing another one, it to know that I took what I learned there and applied it. And yes, it was still hard though. Like it was still hard, but it was different. And when I realized it was different, and I was different as I walked through, it's strange. Like while you're going through such a tough time, it could still be encouraging and exciting. And that's the beauty of walking with Jesus too. It's why nothing is ever void. Nothing returns void with him, and not in a false positivity way. It's just that, you know, you can walk that valley and he can show you something good while you're there. And that's what it's been, and learning that I don't have to, I can just, like I said before, keep going back to the vine. It's just been such a huge weight off my shoulders to truly understand that and be excited that I've grown in that way. So praying for the next, okay, what's the next thing I need to like strengthen or, you know, whatever, like what do we got to do next, God? Like, let's do it. Let's keep tackling this, this new spring season that we got going on here. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited to dive in with Aaron and Tasha and just go a little bit deeper with some of these.
Yeah, me too. They're each currently teaching on a different book of the Bible leading up to the Easter season. And so we'll be digging into some of what they're teaching as well, and then dive into a couple more I Ams, which I think these will be really valuable conversations. So we're not trying to give you a big study to add to your march. What we've done is it's 7 I Am statements. Read the scripture, reflect on the questions, and just let your faith go deeper this month as we prepare for Easter, so that we're not looking back going, oh, what was that all about this year?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, just like, you know, spring is a new thing. Look for him to do a new thing in you. It's much better than whatever's going to be in your Easter basket. That's for sure. So, you know, do yourself a favor here. Skip the chocolate and read the scripture. Or eat the piece of chocolate.
Get the chocolate and get the devotional.
That's what I'm saying that for. Get those Cadbury cream eggs and treat yourself. As you read the I Am statement, open that. I love those Cadbury cream eggs. That is not,
I do.
Again, not biblical, but.
Right. No, I do too. I've just got to figure out how many shots of insulin I need.
Oh, no. No, you be like the bunny. You get those carrot sticks and you load up.
Oh, carrot sticks. Oh, my gosh. Oh, goodness. Okay.
We have a lot of good stuff coming up this month and our conference in New Jersey.
April 20th.
End of April. Hoping to see some new and old faces. I know we're going to. So
yes, we already have new and old faces signed up, and it's very exciting. Yeah, to get to come back. We'll have a big reunion and add more to it. Awesome. So be sure, and you can go to our website or click the link in our show notes to get your PDF. If you're in the New Jersey tri-state area, come on in, and it's going to be a great time. And if you're not, I keep telling my girlfriends here in Florida and Texas, just make it a girls' weekend, because Chatham is the cutest town. And if you want to stay over, take a train ride to the city, go have breakfast at Tiffany's or something. I don't know. But be there for the whole day for the conference. Yes. Because I'm really excited about this year.
Yes, it's going to be great.
Yes. So we will be back with you again next week with Aaron Warren. And until then, follow us on Instagram. Check out the blog, make comments, send us messages. We want to hear from you. Have a good week, and we'll see you soon.